Our scripture reading this morning is, as you probably have guessed it, found in Ephesians 3, 20 through 21. And if you'd like to follow along, it's on page 1158 of the Sanctuary Bible, which is located in the rack of the seat in front of you. And just a reminder that if you don't have a Bible of your own, feel free to take the Sanctuary Bible and make it your own. Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Years ago this month, Grace Community Church started on a journey to fulfill a dream of expanding our facility and expanding our ministry, to reach more with the good news of Jesus Christ, to train more believers as disciples, and to equip more people to serve the Lord using their talents and their gifts. On May 4th, 1997, the congregation of Grace Community Church gathered at Hillside Manor to share in the vision, to have our first stewardship campaign, to share in the vision of expansion, and to encourage the Grace Church family to give financially to help fulfill the dream. On May 11th, 1 week later, we announced the pledges that had been given at that banquet, pledges for expansion, pledges for the project, and they came in at over $800,000. Over the course of the years, we've had two more campaigns. Several designs were suggested, each focusing on a different aspect of the building. We explored properties when we realized that the vision really would require more land and more space than we had across the street. Seemed almost humorous when God directed us to a piece of property across the road that was literally there the whole time, right under our noses. In the fall of 2004, you might remember one of those picture-perfect, glorious days when we gathered as a congregation under the big tent to worship and to praise God and to express our gratitude for the property that we now had. We followed the service with a picnic on the grounds. We had a great day together. And at the time, of course, the property was nothing but a big meadow surrounded by tall trees. As we gather today, 3,368 days from that evening at Hillside Manor, we come having fulfilled a key part of the dream: expanded facilities. Now we move on to the next part of the dream: expanded ministry. Reaching more, training more, equipping more. But today I want us to pause for just a little while, and I want us to do two things. I want us to celebrate, and I want us to ruminate. Now, I don't need to define celebrate. You know what that is. But to ruminate means to ponder, to think about, to contemplate. When we began our campaign 10 years ago, we used Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21 as our theme passage. We referred to it often. We quoted it many times. We have prayed it over and over again. It's provided us both a battle cry, if you will, and a motivator over the long journey these past 10 years. Today, I'd like to return to those two verses for two reasons. First, so we don't lose sight of where we've been. And second, so we don't lose sight of where we're going. Now, to him who is able, I don't need to tell you that many, many people have contributed to the success of this project. Many have given faithfully, many have given generously, many have given sacrificially, and many have given for the entire 10-year period of time. We've had dedicated construction workers, skilled hands have contributed to the construction of this building. Many have volunteered and labored for countless hours on this building. Early in the morning, late at night, in good weather, in bad weather. Some highly skilled and specialized work. Some who came just because they were willing to use their back and muscles, and they weren't afraid to get their hands a little dirty. Design ideas offered, decorating suggestions made, donations given freely to the project. I cannot begin to tell you how much has been done to bring us to this point today. Much more than most will ever see, in fact. Much of it has already been done and hidden, and only the people who did the work or those around them and God Himself saw it. But it's been done. And what we see today is a reflection of all that work. Winston Churchill once remarked in reference to the Royal Air Force during World War II, "Never was so much owed by so many to so few." In our case, I would say, never was so much owed to so many by so many. It's not just a few, it's very many who have contributed. However, though we give thanks and gratitude and appreciation for all who have contributed into all that we see today, dedicated servants who have labored here for so long, the glory goes to God alone. And we need to be sure that's clear. Now to Him who is able. We are God's people. We are the sheep of His pasture. It is He who has made us, and we are His. All we have done, God has enabled us to do. As God said to Moses on Sinai, "Who gave man his mouth? Who made him deaf or mute? Who gives him sight or makes him blind? Is it not I, the Lord?" So we are quick to be thankful for all the contributions that have been made, whether in time, in talent, or in treasure. But the glory belongs to God alone. Ultimately, it is God who has done this. If I were to ask you this morning, how did you get here today? Some of you would say, well, so-and-so drove me, or I drove myself. Nobody would say, the internal combustion engine brought me. Now, the internal combustion engine was certainly an agent of your arrival. But without a driver, it would do no good. God has done great things through us, but it is God who has done great things. We may be the engine, but God is the driver. To Him. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more. Not just is God able to do, but His ability goes beyond comprehension. Specifically, God can do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. Here's what the verse is saying if you look at it in parts. God is able to do all we ask. God is able to do all we ask or imagine. God is able to do more than all we ask or imagine. God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. God can do immeasurably more than all we specifically ask for, and even more than we are capable of imagining. Now, as you look around today, as wonderful as all we see is, as fantastic as it may be, and it is, the fact is, God could have done immeasurably more than this. So, we might ask, why didn't we ask for more? Well, We tend to ask God in proportion to our faith. We were able to believe and trust God for this. So that's what we asked for. And that's what we've been given. We asked according to the conviction of the dream and the vision that God had given us for this place and for this time. We didn't ask for a building that seats 10,000 people because, frankly, our vision is not that big yet. It may be someday. The next level of our vision is phase two, a building built and dedicated for worship. But that's really tomorrow's dream, not today's. We must cross the Jordan first. Jericho lies beyond the Jordan. God will never do more than what he has sovereignly determined to do. Our goal is not to ask God for what is beyond the vision that he has given us for this time and this place. But we can certainly pray for God to expand our vision, can't we? And as our vision expands, our asking should expand right along with it. That's the way it works. As our vision expands and God gives us greater opportunities, and as he grows the vision and we begin to dream bigger than we have, then we will ask, and God, in his sovereignty, if it is his sovereign will grant our request. But our asking, and here's the good news, will never exceed God's ability to provide, if it is his sovereign will. So we pray in faith, trusting God for his sovereign will. And if it is his sovereign will, as this has clearly been, then it's as good as done. The next part of the passage is truly amazing. These marvelous things that God can do that are immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine are done, we're told, according to his power that is at work within us. Two things to observe. First, it is not out of God's power, but according to God's power that he does these things. Now, there's a huge difference between those two. If Bill Gates, for example, gave you a gift out of his wealth, that gift could be large or small. It could be as small as a dollar. It could be $1 billion or many billions of dollars, because the gift would be given out of the wealth that he possesses. But if Bill Gates gave you a gift according to his wealth, the gift would be huge. Because according to means in proportion to. It means commensurate with, in line with. According to God's power means in proportion to his power. Now that's impressive, but it's hardly amazing, because we have come to expect God to display his power. That isn't a surprise to us. That's what we expect. We expect God to do powerful things. What's amazing is that God does these powerful things through his power that's at work. Where? Within us. Now that's extraordinary. That's truly amazing. That's exactly what today and this building are all about. They've come about because of God's power that's at work within us. God didn't do this alone. We didn't do it alone. We did it together. It was a partnership from start to finish. And all for and to God's glory. Because the power comes from God, the glory goes to God. But we do take appropriate pride in what has been done through the power God has provided. 1 Corinthians 1:31 says, "Let him who boasts," implication, it's okay to boast, but here's the qualifier, "in the Lord." Let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. And that's exactly what we're doing. We are boasting in the Lord. We're saying, look what God has done through us. Not look what we've done, but look what God has done through us. And what greater blessing could life offer than the privilege, the opportunity, the joy of being part of what Almighty God is doing in our day? And if we're committed to being part of the eternal plan of God that's been designed for His glory, then the fact is it's completely immeasurable what God will do for us, in us, and then through us. And what is God's eternal plan, being I brought it up? God's eternal plan is that people everywhere would come to know Him, to love Him, to worship Him, and to serve Him, all contributing to His glory. Our part as a church, our calling as Grace Community Church, is to assist believers in our family to seek the lost, to disciple those who have responded to the gospel, and equip believers for ministry and service. That's why we're here. That's what we need to not forget. And through the power of God, we do it. That's at work within us. And all to God's glory. Not only in our generation, and as the passage ends, not just throughout all generations, but how long? Forever and ever. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, how delighted we are, how thrilled we are, how grateful we are that you have called us out of a crooked and perverse generation to serve and worship the living God, to have received, as has already been said this morning, this great tool of worship and ministry, that we might be good stewards of what you have entrusted to our care, and that we might recognize this as a glorious opportunity, maybe that only will come once in a lifetime, to expand what we are doing in this place, that others might come to hear of your love and mercy and grace, that forgiveness is available through Jesus Christ our Lord, and to train those who have trusted Him, and to equip us to serve the only true and living God. Thank you, Lord, for giving us that privilege, that opportunity, that joy. May we be found worthy, so that at the end of time, you can look at us and say, well done, good and faithful servant. To your glory we ask it, in Jesus' name. Amen.